You miss Moses yet?
That's a great laugh.
Moses, our friend. Amen. Praise God for whatever it is that we can learn from others. Amen. And other people's experiences. I think there's a real value in learning things in a variety of ways. It shouldn't always have to be that you or I have to stub our toe. Sometimes you should learn a lesson because the other guy stubbed his toe. And then you conclude, I'm not going to stub my toe like that guy did. It's also good sometimes to watch people do things the right way and say, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's part of learning. It's not always just direct to you, like somebody teaching you something. Sometimes you observe what other people do. And I think in observing Moses, we can take away a lot. Because God showed us both his good and his bad. God's not going to hide stuff. Because he knows that we're imperfect, and so we don't need to just see some one-dimensional people. There's no one-dimensional characters in the Bible. Because these are real people. And they do good, and they do bad. They succeed, and they fail. They get angry, they get tired, they get thirsty, they get frustrated. And God shows it all on display. The treachery. Some people are treacherous. Some people are faithful. Some people are crybabies. Some people are strong. And God shows us all of them so that we can take something from all of it. And so I thank God for the Bible. Amen. It's such a... so good. Amen. It just teaches us how to live. And so we praise God for that. Amen. We're switching gears for the next couple of weeks. I'm excited in my spirit quietly because God is mapping some plans for us as we finish out the year. I don't know exactly all the story, but what I do know now is starting on Sunday, we're going to spend some time talking about health and healing, which is something we haven't done. We pulled out the CDs this week, since 2009, where we had a series, 5-part series, I don't know how many parts we'll do now, but on health and healing. And it's so important because we all have experience with sickness. We've been sick, we get body aches, and we know other people and so on. It's in keeping with what, you know, again, God told us at the beginning of the year, and none of us have lost sight of it, right? We're taking it to the house, going to ask your mom. Well, I can tell you this, one of the ways that the devil wants to keep you from getting to wherever God is taking you, he wants to lay you in your sick bed, at the very least. He wants to put you up in the hospital. In fact, he'd like to put you in the ground. So we got to fight because he's fighting against us, and it's the grace of God that keeps us up. But we go through so many things, from tiredness and fatigue even, and weakness and sickness and all those things. Can't take it to the house if you're too sick to carry to take it all the way through. So God wants us to spend some time on that. So I'm excited about that. And then he also wants us to talk about at some point after that, talk about money. Oh, yeah. Folk get all messed up in the church when you start talking about money. Amen. But I believe God wants to talk to us about money because he wants you to know what to do with it when it comes. Amen. Amen. Because God has a kingdom way of doing things with finances that we should be in line with. And, but also, too, Listen to how people pray. Listen to how people talk about where they are in their situation. And if you just listen for a little while to a group of people, you're going to hear some complaints or concerns about health and or money. It's probably one and two, depending on what day of the week it is, of the concerns of most folk in the body of Christ. Health and money. Now, they got some time issues, and some people, oh, I want to know what to do with my ministry. Yeah, I get that. But there are a whole lot of folks who are just looking for a financial breakthrough or physical healing type breakthrough. Amen. God wants to give us victory over those things as we end up this year, because the key to us taking it to the house. Amen. So I'm just excited about that. So we're going to be starting on the healing part of it anyway on Sunday. And of course, all of it is subject to change. Amen. Because if God decides that he wants to talk about something else, how many of you know that's what's going to be talked about? Amen. But at least as of right now, that's what I'm believing in my heart. Amen. As far as our Bible study, I told my wife this before we got here today. God has been pressing on my heart to talk about something that I've been trying to put off. But we're going to talk about some things that some principles that are that God has given in the book that he allowed me to write called Ministry Brings the Blessing. And we're going to talk about some of those things which I think are so important. I really do. Because how many of you know God, Jesus, when all is said and done, Jesus is a servant. He's a servant. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is our example. And so as people of God, we have to be servant-minded, because our Savior was a servant, and he was servant-minded. But our society seems to elevate those who get served. That makes you important. Mr. Rothschild walks in. Everybody scurries around and serves him. See, that's the world. Kingdom doesn't work like that. In the kingdom, the people who serve are the important ones to God. Because God needs people to serve other people. And so, we're going to talk about, and I don't know, we'll decide between now and next week, whether we need to get more books. How many have a book? You got a book? Mm-hmm. You got a book, yes. Book, by the way? You got one now, Joseph. I'm going to sign it, too. Three words. Better read it. You have one, Christian?
No. He can read mine.
Okay. But we'll see. And if we are going to use it, then we will notify ahead of time. I mean, but those of you have it, it's a short book. Mm-hmm. Chapters are short and everything else. But this idea about ministry brings the blessing, I think, is something that is really important to our walk with God. And so let's pray, and then let's see where the Lord leads us tonight. And obviously, we release our praise for the weeks ahead as well. Father, we give you praise and thanks right now, because you're worthy. We thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness that you extended toward us on today. And we thank you for blessing us one more time. We thank you for our life, health, and our strength. By clothing us in our right mind, God, you have done it again. You have shown yourself faithful. Now, God, we ask you, Lord, to speak a word of life unto us through this Bible study. Father, we desire to hear, to learn, to grow, to prosper, to develop, and to be used by you, O God, in your kingdom, to advance your righteous cause. Father, prepare us and equip us for that task, O God, by just speaking words unto us, that we may be increased in our faith, in our knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that through it all, God, you will be honored and glorified. Father, we thank you right now for the leading of your Holy Spirit, who opens up the scriptures unto us and blesses us with understanding. And we give you the praise, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Why don't we start here? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and what we're going to see there is something we'll come back to both here and in the other three Gospels, which is the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000. And this we differentiate from the feeding of the 4,000, which takes place in Matthew chapter 15. There were two feedings, two miraculous feedings that were recorded, amen. I believe that, and even the Gospel of John says that this book, you're talking about the Gospel of Hebrew, he said all the books in the world could not contain all of the miracles that Jesus did. Right? He said all the books in the world could. So when we look at the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000, we don't want to say, you know, these are the two feedings that Jesus did, because this is all that we have recorded. But Jesus went around for those 3.5 years doing miracles everywhere he went. All right, so let's look at Matthew chapter 14, we're going to start at verse number 13. We're looking at the feeding of the 5,000. It said, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. All right. So, amen. So, we look at this, amen, and it serves as our foundation for what God wants to remind some of us and impart into others of us. This idea that our blessing is intertwined in our service to other people. That Christians want to be blessed, and people in the body want to be blessed, and everybody here wants to be blessed. But if we are truly going to be blessed the way we want to, and more importantly, the way God wants to bless you, because I got news for you, God wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed. So when you be praying sometimes, oh Lord bless me, oh Lord bless me, you think, oh, nobody knows how much I want to be blessed and how much I need this. I'm telling you this, God wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed. Somebody said, well, why don't we do it then? God has standards, and God has a purpose, and God has a will. Earthly earthly parent, I think there are earthly parents who desperately want to provide something for their children. Parent might have, you know, have grown up, didn't have much, and say, you know, I want to give to my kids, I want to bless my kids. Kids coming up through high school, get ready to graduate high school, and the parent desperately wants to give that kid a car. Because you're going to need to go to work, and, you know, it's we live out here, there's no public transportation, and they desperately want to give that kid a car. And that kid repeatedly shows the parent that they can't be trusted with a tricycle. So as much as that parent may want to give that kid a car, if that parent is responsible, they say, I can't do it. Can't do it. Kid doesn't even, we go to the mall, we're in the parking lot, and won't even look two ways, we just walk right out into the... Can't do it. I keep telling him. Keep telling him. You gotta look. You're in the parking lot. And it just doesn't click. I can't put keys in their hand because then that's how they're gonna drive. Yeah. Can't do it. But desperately wants to do it. Yeah. That's how God is with us, see? We want to be blessed. We want the car. We're that kid that wants the car. But God looks at us and says, can't do it. Because this thing, if I put it in your hands, will do more harm than good. And I love you too much to give you something that I know is going to hurt you. So you know what I need you to do? I need you to change. I need you to do something different. Isn't that what parents say? When you show me that you can be responsible, I'll give you the keys to the car. God wants to bless us, but some of us, scratch that, all of us need to make some changes. And my change might not be your change, and her change may not be his change, but we all are under construction. Right? The permit issued by the county for you to have the work done never expires. It's an ongoing permit. Amen. We're under construction. But God wants to bless us. But here's the thing. God's blessing is so intricately tied into our service of other people. God called Abraham, and he told him, come out from your land, come out from your kindred, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. He said, I'm going to bless you. And then he also said, and you shall be a blessing. That's our call, too. We're supposed to be a blessing to people. It's not just about us receiving. It's about us giving as well. Amen. And so we need to give. We need to give. Give of ourselves, give of our time, give of our treasure, give of our talent. We need to give. And as we do that, we're blessed. So we're going to talk about this. Amen. That ministry or service to others brings blessings. Let's just look real quickly. We're going to come back to this many times over the next several weeks. But if we look at Matthew chapter 14. Let's jump to the end, meaning that after these people were on the mountainside all day, they're tired, they're hungry, the disciples want them to be sent away, and Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we don't have anything except two fish and five loaves of bread. And Jesus said, okay, bring them here. And he said to the disciples, okay, make everybody sit down. And then he blessed the bread, he blessed the fish, he gave to the disciples, and they gave to everybody, and everybody ate, right? Everybody ate. 5,000 people, just men. Probably 10,000 to 15,000 people when you count women and children. from 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. But the thing is, too, it says here that after everybody ate and were filled. That's what I love about that, right? Not that everybody just ate. Everybody was filled. I know I've gone to different times when I've been in, I try to be polite. Sometimes when I was over like a relative's house that I really wasn't that close to. You ever have those relatives? They're your relatives, but you're really not close to them.
Yeah.
And so you're not really relaxed around them.
Right.
And so you go to that house and they give you, you know, they give you like, you know, one piece of chicken and you're like, oh, one piece of chicken? I haven't only eaten one piece of chicken since I was like 5 years old. One piece of chicken. But you don't want to say anything because you're not, you know, like if that was your aunt that you're really close to or your, right, your cousin that you're really close to, you'd say, hey, what's up with this one piece of chicken? See, you would say that.
Right, right.
But see, you're over that relative's house who's, you know, never really that close to, so you have to try to act like it's okay. And they only gave you one piece of chicken. They gave you a drumstick. And you look at this and like, what am I supposed to do with this? I've been there, and I've eaten chicken, and I wasn't full. I wasn't satisfied. Isn't that a terrible feeling? Anybody ever ate something, you've been somewhere you ate, and you didn't have enough?
Yeah.
That's a terrible feeling. And you don't want to say anything and then, I'm okay, but you know you're not. That's a terrible feeling. I remember that. I was at my aunt's house in Michigan. I was away at school. I went to their house one weekend and they had the food and I just ate. Man, that happened over 30. 40 years ago, I remember this as if it was yesterday. But here, with only 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, Jesus multiplied it, and it said, and they did all eat and were filled. Everybody ate until they were satisfied. That means even those who went back for seconds and for thirds, the disciples didn't tell them, you had some already. Gave some more. So everybody ate and were filled. But then it says this, and they, the disciples, took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. So the disciples, who they didn't have any food either. Because we learned in the other gospel accounts of this that it was a little boy who had a lunch of 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. So at this time, none of the 12 disciples had any food either. And Jesus, you know, said, you give them something to eat. They go, we don't have anything. But this little boy got 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And because the disciples now are put to work, let's look at verse 19. And he, Jesus, commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves. And the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and prayed, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Okay, who wants to tell us what happened in that verse? Christian.
Jesus blessed the food, and he gave the food to the disciples, and so they could feed people.
Okay. Anything else missing? Or is that about covered? Kind of.
He took the bread and the fish and he blessed it and gave thanks for it. And then he was able to feed everyone.
Okay. All right. Is that about covered now? We good? Anything else?
We good.
Told him to sit down. Sit down. He did. Now, this again, 5,000 men, not counting women and children, let's put it at 10, 12, 15,000 people. We read it in one verse. Blessed it, break it, gave it, disciples fed them. And fed to everybody was full. One verse took us 15 seconds to read it. But here's the question. How long do you think it took the disciples to feed him? 15,000 people. How much walking do you think the disciples had to do to get that food to 15,000 people?
A lot.
How long do you think it took? Hours. I don't care if you have people lining up and say, just come on down. That's a lot of serving. Why do we spend time to stop on there? Because, see, sometimes we can read the Bible and it seems so nice and clean. He blessed it, he prayed, he gave it to them, they ate. 15,000 people. And only 12 disciples. That means they all had the honor of having over 1,000 people to serve. That's all you got to do to the math. Amen? And I know for somebody, their favorite show was coming on that night. And they wanted to leave. They had to feed these people. And we stopped there for a moment because we can't overlook the work that was involved. They're on the mountainside, y'all. They ain't even level ground. They're outside. It's not air conditioned. It's no fellowship hall. You are outside on a mountain, rocked. I know somebody was walking. You ever walk somebody and you trip over something? I know somebody was catching a fish and bread trick. They had to walk up. Some people up on the top parts of the mountain. They had to walk up there and walk back down. This was some work. Right? Why we stop there? Because service to other people requires work and sacrifice. And it's tiring sometimes. And it's like you have to put yourself aside. Because if Jesus wants you to do something for somebody else, it's going to cost you something. If it's going to be the type of service that God honors. See, I want to tell you this. There's sometimes, I've done it, where, you've done it too, where we help people when it's convenient for us.
Yeah.
Right? They would ask you to do something on Saturday, and you've been planning out this Saturday to just sit back and watch your movies and veg out. Can't do this Saturday. I got commitments. You ever use that word? Like, you know, you use the word that sounds serious, but really don't say nothing? I got commitments. Yeah, your commitment is to that couch and that remote. I got commitment. I got a commitment on Saturday. Sorry, I can't. Oh, you got a commitment. Yeah, a prior commitment. I love those things. A prior commitment. Makes it sound more serious. A prior commitment. Because you can't have a past commitment. Not a past commitment. I got a prior commitment. Been on my calendar for a while. Can't move it. What are you doing? Going to see Godzilla. But have you ever helped somebody just when it fits in? And if it don't quite fit in, you go, no, I'm sorry, I can't. We've all done it. Sorry, I can't do it. But here's the thing. And look, on a certain level, look, no one's trying to condemn anybody for doing that. But here's the thing. The service, if all of our service is convenient service, we ain't really moving the heart of God on that. Amen. You think it was convenient for Jesus to go to the cross? So you think he relates to convenient service? The service that fits in? The service that's comfortable? No. God is looking for us to be willing to do things that's going to cost us something. You weren't even going to go here, and I'm hoping I can find it, but just let's see if I can get there. I'm relying on the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 24. Amen. I wrote down some scriptures, but I tell you this wasn't one of them. Amen. But God is, let's look at this, because I think it's instructive for us. Because, I mean, no, we're going to look at David right now. And the Bible tells us that David is what? He was who? A man after God's own heart. Amen. David was in tune with God in a way that many, many people are not. Wasn't perfect, but he was in tune with God. So let's look at 2 Samuel 24, the last chapter of 2 Samuel. Verse number 18. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of God, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said to David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. And all these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Amen. David had commanded a census to be taken, and God has sent a plague on the land. And David wanted the plague to end. And so now he's coming. He's the king. He's coming, and Araunah sees him coming, and he said, I want to build an altar, and I want to sacrifice unto God. And Araunah is so taken by the king that he says, Here, you can have it. And David's the king. So David could have said, Yeah, that's right. Okay, give me. What else you got? Because I'm making a sacrifice unto God. Give me what you got. But David said, uh-uh. You're not giving me anything. He said, because I am not going to make a sacrifice unto God that costs me nothing. What's he saying? He said, the only thing that I can give unto God and call a sacrifice, it's got to cost me something. So he said, listen, I'm going to pay for it. And see, David's a man after God's own heart. He understands. We can't give God something that costs us nothing. That's why some of the best service we can give to God and give to other people is when we have prior commitments. Especially if they're just personal things that we want to do. I want to sleep late. I want to go hang out. I want to do this for fun. I want to do that for fun. That was your prior commitment. But when you give that in service to someone else, that's the price you're paying. God honors that. But when you can only do it, and I can only do it when our schedules are clear, it's really not costing us that much. Now somebody said, well, I don't have to go. No, you don't have to. But then you do. Because you got a commandment on you to love other people. Right? Love your neighbor as you love who? Hmm? yourself. How many people do things for themselves? Everybody in here does something for themselves, don't they? We do a whole lot of things for ourselves. So if you gotta love other people as you love yourself, what do you think you gotta do for other people? You gotta do some stuff with it. See how it works? So we got a commandment on us to do stuff for other people. We ain't free to go, I'm just waiting for God to tell me. God already told you. Waiting for us to serve it. You ain't waiting for God to tell you to go to the mall and spend all that money. You just called yourself blessed and you acted like it. It has to cost us something, right? It has to cost us something. David, the man after God's own heart, said, I cannot offer a sacrifice to God that costs me nothing. So that's why we stop there, because when we go back to Matthew chapter 14, we want to see that the disciples who came into this scenario here with 5,000 men on the mountainside, not counting women and children, the disciples had no food. There were 12 of them, and the scriptures say in verse number 20 that when they were finished, they took away 12 baskets full of food. Each disciple walked away with groceries. They had nothing. Coming in, they walk away with groceries. Why? Because they spent time going up and down that mountainside serving other people. Amen?
Amen.
They went up and down serving other people. And then God blessed them with something they didn't have. They now walk away with baskets full of food. But it costs them something. Amen? And it's going to have to cost us something too. But when we pay the price, and when we do it, not because we're looking for something to come back to us, but we do it because we simply love the Lord and we love other people. Those are the two commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second commandment is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. When we do those two things, and we are motivated by those two things, I'm going to do this for my brother because I love the Lord and I love people. The blessings come to you. You don't have to look for them. How do we know that? Well, let's look at Mark chapter 6. No, I'm sorry. No. We'll come back to Mark chapter 6. John chapter 6. You don't have to look to be blessed. That's the funny thing. You ever find when you just do something purely out of your heart, that God turns around and gives you something, and you're not even looking for it, and God will turn around and bless you with something?
Amen.
You weren't looking for it. And God turns around and blesses you with something. I think that's why God said when he told in Deuteronomy chapter 28 that when we obey the Lord, that the blessing of the Lord will come upon us and overtake us. You know what that said? We're not looking for it. Because it's coming from behind. And we're just walking. And it comes, and just like grabs us by the shoulder. We got to stop walking. We walk on. He grabs. Hey, what's up? The blessing. God sent me. This is John chapter 6 where we see the feeding of the 5,000 as well. And let's look at verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments. of the 5 barley loaves would remain over and above them that had eaten. See, the disciples weren't looking to be blessed, but they served God and they sacrificed. And it was Jesus who told them, gather up the fragments. So what was it? God made sure that Jesus is God, amen. God made sure they got blessed for their service, but they weren't looking for it. It was up to them. They would have just went home. They would have left the fragments there. But Jesus had gathered up the fragments. Why? Because he knew how many baskets it was going to fill up. He said, you gather up these fragments, it's going to fill up 12 baskets, one for each one of y'all. Right? You served other people, now I'm going to bless you. And then the beauty of it is, the disciples weren't looking for it. See, when we just serve people because we know it's the right thing to do, or because God wants us to do it, which is the same thing, God wants us to do it, God turns around and gives you a blessing. And you ain't even looking for it. I love blessings that I ain't even looking for. How about you? Amen? Amen. Amen. I love the mailbox blessings. Stuff coming in the mail you wasn't looking for. I love them email blessings. I love those unexpected phone call blessings. I love those surprise blessings, amen, where people just, you know, acts of kindness and just knock your socks off and you're like, you wasn't expecting anything. That's God, amen, responding to the faithful ones who pay a price and sacrificially give of themselves to serve other people. Amen? Amen. That's why we want to always maintain love in our heart. Because love is going to compel you past your fatigue. Love is going to tell you there'll be another game 7 one day. I don't even think we weren't saved at the time. Mike and I, we had one television. We're blessed. You understand what I mean? Because see, now we think, one television. See, you say that to modern folks today, you tell them, we have one television. They go, one television. One television. Let me tell you something. There were times when I was growing up, but I'm sure you just don't know what I'm about to say. There were times when I was growing up, we had no television. We had no television. What did you do? We used our imagination, Jack. We played with all kinds of things. We used to have dust races. You and your sibling get on the floor and blow dust. You used to play my car. Yeah. Looking out the window. That's my car. My car. My car. You arm wrestle. Yeah. You flip coins. Best 10 out of best 15, 1 out of 100. What do you mean, what did you do? You did something. That's why I don't have any sympathy for the modern day kid. Tell me I ain't got nothing to do. You got a library full of games. You got a television in your room that you think is the way it's supposed to be. You got games on your phone. Games on the TV. Games in the car. There's some people who think they can't buy a minivan unless they got a television headset in the back so that this full kid back there can watch SpongeBob SquarePants. Television in the car, Les.
We didn't have one in the house.
You know why I can tell you this, we didn't have television in the car. You know why? Because we didn't have a car. Either. I'm just telling the truth.
You had one.
We found things to do, Jack. Play with army men. Keep going to remember army men. Playing with some things, man. The guy with the bazooka. You know what I mean?
Amen. I don't even know how I got there.
You're talking about how you have one TV.
Yeah, we have one TV. That's right, we have one TV. And it was the NCAA championship game between Georgetown and North Carolina. That was the game that Michael Jordan hit the shot from the corner. And we had one TV. And it's Monday night in March. And my wife wanted to watch something else.
No, saying so. Saying not so.
And I just remember saying, it's okay. And just feeling sick to my stomach for the rest of the night. Amen. Listen, but see, we got to have those sick to the stomach feelings. We got to have those things where I really want to do this, but okay. Because it costs you something, man. And if it doesn't cost you anything, then God's heart's not moved. But when God sees the sacrifice you make in order to make somebody else's life more comfortable, in order to do something for somebody else, in order to follow His direction and His commands, I'm telling you, God's going to take care of you. And you ain't got to look for it. He's going to command you. He's going to tell you, gather up the fragments. What do you mean, gather up the fragments? He's going to tell you things like this. Go over there today. Blessing's going to be waiting for you, but you don't know that. He's going to tell you, now just stay home today. And the blessing's going to be there, but you don't know that. Because He's going to take care of you. God takes care of people who take care of people. Amen. The disciples took care of these people, and Jesus took care of them. Didn't He? Amen. They went from no food to a basket full of food. They went home and had leftovers. You know, leftovers taste good the next day, too. Don't you? You know, the fish sandwich just tastes good the next day. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to stop here. But we're going to keep talking about this, and we're going to see, we probably get more books, amen, ministry brings a blessing, but we want to talk about this because it's something, serving other people and what it means and how the blessing is released in our life is to me, is really a powerful thing for us to get, and it takes our mind off ourselves where it doesn't belong in the first place, amen, and puts it on other people, and then allows God to use us in a greater way, amen. Amen. And when He does that, He will bless you. In addition, amen. But we'll continue next week, and we'll probably what we'll do is look at the different accounts in Matthew chapter 14 verses 13 to 21. It's also in Mark 6 30 to 44, Luke 9 10 to 17, and John 6 verses 1 through 13. Amen. So we want to look at the feeding of the 5,000 and just talk about how God wants us to serve other people. And in our service, God will bless us. Amen.
Amen.
When we do it out of a true heart of love and of worship that just want to see other people blessed and God glorified. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, we give You praise and we give You thanks, God. We thank You, Lord, for the example that the Lord Jesus Christ has set for us, that we are to serve other people in the love of God. And so, Father, we're just praying tonight that You will continue to speak unto our hearts and just bring us closer to You and deeper into the revelation of this word, that we can live it out each and every day by the power of Your Spirit, that You, God, may be pleased with us, and that people may be blessed, and the kingdom of God advanced in the earth, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank You for what You have begun to do, and we're excited, oh God, of where You are taking us on another journey in Your word. Father, we bless You. And now, God, we just ask You to watch over us as we make our way home. Father, we pray for safe passage. We take nothing for granted, God. Father, we can't get from here to there without Your help and Your blessing. So, Father, we ask You to bring us safely home And Father, we thank you for the houses that we live in, the cars that we drive, the food in our cupboards, the clothes on our back, everything, God, that comes from your hand. We give you praise and thanks for it. Bless us with your presence, and we'll continue, O God, to lift you up and bless you with our lives. We give you glory and praise tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with Him.